And we're on the air. We're alive. Hey, folks! Thanks for tuning into another webisode of the famous or infamous Banff podcast. I'm your host, Mike Lafferty, and today we have a huge roundtable of huge, lots of guys talk comics and gaming. I'm just going to read from left to right as they are on my Google Hangout screen. There's Aid Smith from Mesozoic Press, and also from does a lot of work for me at Fan and Goat. How you doing, Aid?
I'm good, thank you.
Glad you are here. Hey, did you see Deadpool yet?
No.
I think you might really enjoy that one. You should check it out when you get a chance.
No.
Watch it for the opening credits. Watch it for the opening credits alone.
One of my veins has just exploded.
Sorry about that. Next up, Jacob Blackman, who was does a ton of stuff in gaming, and he's one of the regular artists for Rogue Genius. He's done a lot of work for me in the past, too. Glad to have you, Jacob.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me along.
Yeah. Next up is Mr. Jason Tondro, a.k.a. Dr. Comics, a frequent panelist here. How you doing, Jason?
Couldn't be better.
All right. Thanks for joining us. Next up, Mr. Christopher McLaughlin from Green Ronin. How you doing, Chris?
Oh, one day closer to summer break.
That's coming up real fast now, isn't it?
Oh, not fast enough, but but on the way.
All right. So, and sitting next to Chris in this virtual space is Sean Isaac, very talented artist who's done lots of work for Green Ronin in the past, including, we just discovered, on several characters that Chris wrote. And he's worked on Pathfinder comic, and he's currently doing some fill-in pages on Dresden Files. Anything else we should throw out there, Sean?
Nothing I can announce just yet.
Okay, all right.
But there's some more Stray stuff coming though as well.
Uh-huh. Oh, wait, Actionverse. You're the Actionverse artist, right?
Yes. Well, you know, on one of them, yeah.
Okay. No snickering. Last but not least is Walt Rebilliard. How you doing, Walt?
Good. Nobody's hiring me for what I'm really good at.
Which is what?
I am really, really good at making tacos.
And kicking ass.
And like License to Kill, man.
Yeah.
yeah, but, you know, the retirement plan for that sucks.
The only reason why I haven't hired you to kill somebody is because I don't want to kill anyone.
Give it time.
The thing is, I can't afford to have the people killed, but I want to get killed because they are fucking human beings.
You guys know this is all being recorded, right?
Yes, it
is. Also broadcast live. So, hey, we are here to talk about comics and not get anyone implicated in a murder-for-hire scheme. So, let's move on to comics. DC Rebirth, the big book came out. Chris McLaughlin, what do you think about it?
Well, you know, I probably should get my snark out of the way first, and just say, hey, another reboot, because those always make everything better at DC, right? Yeah, but okay. Snark aside, I loved every page of that book. It was just checking off, I think, everything that needed to be done for DC Comics up until the very end, up until I hit that epilogue. And I don't think I've been this furious with a comic. Okay, I was more angry than Black Dossier. I think we're at like 0 hour level of fury for me.
Zero hour was really bad. Are we really at that level, you think?
Yes. All right. I'm going to go ahead and say it. This comic made me angrier than anything I've ever read.
Wow.
And you know, and it was all at the ending. I mean, I think the example I used on Facebook is it's like imagine going to see Casablanca, which is probably as close to a perfect film as has ever been made. And at the end of the movie, instead of walking off and talking about how there's a beautiful friendship, Brogart starts talking like a dude bro about how great it was to screw Ilsa.
Right, right.
You would not only hate the ending, you would be left with this baffling sense of how could somebody make something so perfect and then end it in the worst possible way?
You're going to have to refresh my memory. How does it end? Because I thought it...
No, go ahead. We shouldn't worry about spoilers on this podcast. Anybody who's listening is going to know we're going to talk about the end. So tell us what
it ends with Jeff Johns cashing a receipt on Alan Moore by doing the one thing that Alan Moore probably hates more than, well, okay, in this, the thing he hates most in this dimension You know, I can't speak to what enemies his snake god has made, because it's not my thing.
Do not mock Lycon. Sorry, please continue.
But you know, Geoff Johns is cashing a receipt and basically has turned this whole reboot, rebirth, redux into a sequel to Watchmen.
Yeah.
We find that Dr. Manhattan is behind the whole thing.
Yeah.
And that, I think my exasperation came out in my Facebook post. I just said, why is Watchmen the one comic that comes closest to being literature? Why is it in the hands of the people that seem to understand it the least?
And Chris, when I was on Andy's podcast a couple of days ago, I wanted to thank you because you expressed this really clearly.
That
people who think that Watchmen is jaded and cynical have not read the ending of Watchmen.
Yeah.
And I think that Geoff Johns is not stupid. He must know that the ultimate message of Watchmen is that every individual person is a miracle, and that forgiveness and compassion for our fellow human being is the only way to live. Like, he must know that. But he also knows that the vast majority of Watchmen readers only think of Watchmen as that cool book where Rorschach breaks someone's finger, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that he's intentionally mischaracterizing the book because he knows that most readers also misinterpret the book.
Yeah. And you know, there's something, I don't know, is irony a big enough word that a company that writes big fat checks to Scott Lobdell and Jim Lee, you know, the guy who ruined comics is Alan Moore.
Yeah. I can't believe that they're turning Dr. Manhattan into a supervillain. I mean, like, of all the most ridiculous things for that character to do.
Well, they say he's going to be an antagonist, but, you know, frankly, I don't care if he's like the wacky neighbor that gives loopy advice over the fence. You don't fucking touch Watchmen.
Right.
Do Moby Dick 2 before you do anything else with Watchmen.
What was that Hamlet sequel with Schwarzenegger that they made fun of?
What was it? Oh, it's been Last Action Hero. Oh my God! I mean, but you know, in a way, it sort of typifies everything that's wrong with DC Entertainment, because their films are in the hand of a guy, like you said, that thinks the whole point of Watchmen was Rorschach breaking that guy's fingers.
Yeah.
Actually, I'd rather say that it's in the hands of Zack Snyder. I wouldn't blame Geoff Johns for that. I think Zack Snyder, who he doesn't like superheroes.
That's who we're talking about.
Zach. Oh, okay. I thought you meant Geoff Johns. Yeah, Zack Snyder clearly does not like superheroes. Why is he working on those movies? I don't understand.
Well, as he said, he said himself, he likes superheroes when they're having sex or trying to kill people. Like that. He said, and I'm directly quoting him here. Like someone tried to give him a comic book when he was younger, and it was Watchmen, and he said, oh, like this. He never really liked superheroes unless they were trying to kill each other or having sex. But that's what they're doing in Watchmen, so we kind of dug it.
Mm.
You know, and so we get a Superman that has sex with Lois Lane in the bathtub. You know?
And again,
and a Batman that's like, I'm gonna kill everybody, but I'm not really gonna kill everybody. It's gonna be like by mistake because I'm incompetent. And oh yeah, let's just shoot Jimmy Olsen in the head because I like to fuck with the fans, asshole.
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. The reason I read comics is I want to see what humankind is supposed to be like, not what we are. Superheroes are supposed to inspire. They're not supposed to show. They're not supposed to show a mirror at us.
Well, I think that there's a big range in comics, and I think there's room for both. I think there are room for comics superheroes that are a mirror or that have feet of clay. But so to get back to Rebirth, I agree with you about the overall tone of the book. Like, for 98% of that book, it's doing everything that we want it to do.
And everything that needs to be done.
Yeah, and it looks beautiful, too, and I love the fact that it doesn't look like a Jim Lee comic. And you know what I mean, because, like, for the last 5 years, all of DC's books have kind of looked that way, you know?
And the thing for me is that there's only one Jim Lee. Stop trying to like ape him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And Jim Lee's art is great, but I don't think we should make other artists draw in his style. That's keeping the artists from doing their own thing, and that's not good comics. But
and I think that, you know, getting artists to do their own work and stuff brings out the best in them.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Yes, precisely. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. But I think that when Johns is talking about the rebirth, he's not just trying to retcon New 52. I think that he's trying to retcon everything since Watchmen. That he sees the whole DC universe since Watchmen as being obsessed with dark and gritty, and I think he wants to course correct the whole past 30 years of DC Comics. That's my opinion.
Makes sense.
It makes sense to me. I just can't see why you're pointing the finger at Alan Moore.
Yeah. And I think that they decided, you know what? There's nothing we can do that will please Alan, so let's just fuck him.
Yeah, pretty much. But I think like Watchmen, yeah, it's one of those things where it doesn't take away from what Watchmen was. If you don't read anything else that's got the characters in now and whatever, then it's Watchmen can still be its own standalone thing. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I mean, did anybody here read the before Watchmen stuff? Like, I bet you did.
Right? Oh God, no.
No,
look
I didn't.
Look at the lot.
Nope.
Like every issue.
Abe, you read every issue?
Everything.
Okay, what did you think?
Were they
good comics? Were they good comics?
I thought they were quite cool. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
The Rorschach series I thought was brilliant. The artwork in that was absolutely astounding for starters.
I read some of the Silk Spectre stuff and some of the Darwin Cook.
Darwin Cook one was brilliant. Spectre one seemed to meander a little and didn't quite know. It filled in a lot of background stuff that we didn't really need to know about.
Yes, I didn't finish the series. I started it, but didn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I tell you what I know about Before Watchmen. One of my all-time favorite comedy comic sites was the Legendary Ape Law site, and they went on hiatus several years ago, but they came back just to do a special on Before Watchmen, particularly the comedian stories. And they did a page by page, panel by panel breakdown telling me about how the whole point of the story was to excuse everything the comedian did, including the rape.
Yeah.
And I just thought, This just goes beyond being a bad comic. I mean, this thing is an atrocity on paper.
But it must have sold. I mean, it must have sold because they wouldn't be doing another sequel to Watchmen if it hadn't sold.
But did it sell, or is it just that the people that run DC are obsessed with trying to monetize something? Dark Knight 3, Watchmen 3, bringing back the game in Sandman. Yeah. You know, I mean, good Lord. I mean, who knows? I mean, it's just this desperate attempt to try to find something that was successful 30 years ago.
Well, if they ignore it, not, it looks like the Watchmen stuff isn't going to be in every Rebirth book. Like, from what it looks like, most of the books are going to mostly ignore it. So maybe we'll still get some good comics out of it. I mean, maybe the Watchmen stuff won't be a big ingredient in a lot of these new titles. And we'll just get, you know, a better Flash and a better Green Arrow and a better Batman.
Apparently,
DC publishes, 50 books a year? I mean, just by sheer law of averages, at least some of them are going to be good.
Yeah.
The question will be, how many of them are better because of Rebirth? And that's still a very open question.
I
was going to say that I'm more excited about things like Nightwing now, and the Titans are back together, like the original Titans and stuff like that. I'm way more excited about that because it's kind of like the old. I still like the old stuff that I loved is back.
Yeah, you know? that's kind
and,
of.
And in a way, they like baking the cake and eating it too, because you've got you've got your Jamie Ray's fans who, that's the only Blue Beetle they've known, but now Ted Kord is back, so those of us that prefer Ted Kord, like, I don't mind reading a book now that has both of them in it. Like, why not? It's about legacy, you know? So I'm getting, like, a lot of the old characters I love back, which weren't around for the New 52.
Yeah, that's kind of what I took away from it, was excitement over what's coming, because I was a Jaime Reyes Blue Beetle fan, and when he left, I was, you know, as his issue was, series was canceled, I was very disappointed. But I also like Ted Kord. That seeing the two of those guys teamed up,
Yeah,
I've been waiting like 7 years to see that book.
Same with Ray Palmer. I'm a Ray Palmer fan. I'm not a Choi fan, but I'll pick up a book with both of them in. Why the hell not?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Although I'm kind of surprised.
The Atom thing actually was quite odd, because the Atom did have the section in Rebirth, but is the only, as far as I'm aware, the only character in it that actually got their own series coming. So I don't quite know where they're going with that story. Where is it going to be picked up? Is it going to be picked up in JLA, do you think? Or, you know, it just seems to be like everybody else is like, hey, Superman's dead. This is what happened to Superman. This is what happened in Batman with the Joker stuff. This is what happened with the Flash. That's going to be in Flash. Here's the thing about the Atom. He hasn't got a book.
It might just
we'll
be
worry about that later.
I mean, when Marvel had their Point One series a while back, some of those titles, it took like a few months before they announced like
true.
The characters that were in there. So it might just be down the pipeline. They just don't want to announce them. Like, they didn't want to blow their load in the first announcements, you know?
True.
And for me, Rebirth, like, you know what? It's the first, when Wally came back, it's the first time in a long time that a DC book got me all emotional on shirts, because I was like,
yeah, I was
like, Wally's back. Oh, my God.
Emotional as well. It's like, oh, it's so cool.
Well, you could not have picked a better audience surrogate for everybody that's been just been shaking their head for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
But also, like, directly after that, I went and I tweeted, I'm like, yeah, so DC, if you guys need an artist on that Wally West book that you haven't announced yet, here's my email address.
Yeah, there's a lot of smart reasons to pick Wally, and, you know, I've never been as much of a DC reader as I am a Marvel reader, but even I, like, totally get Wally as a character, and as an outsider, I can totally get inside of him, and plus, he's very successful on television right now, and he's a great pick. And I know that Jeff likes him a lot, too. John likes him a lot.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's for me, it taps back into those Perez Teen Titans issues that I freaking cherish. Like, I've got all the issues. I've bought trades. I've got omnibuses. Yeah. Like, the Teen Titans were, like, my jam. So, like, I'm reading that, and it's instant flashback to, like, that time in like the 80s and stuff, when I was reading those comics and I identified with all those characters so much, you know.
Yeah, Tales of the Teen Titans, when they're all sitting on the beach telling stories, like that was like my favorite comic of that era.
Do any of you guys like Teen Titans Go, the cartoon?
I
no!
love it.
I prefer the original one, not the newer one, but
yeah,
it's not too bad.
I haven't seen any of the new ones. But the original ones, like, people look at me weird when I tell them it's actually really awesome. And they're like, no, but it looks like it's for kids. And I'm like, you don't know how dark it gets by season 4, guys. You have no idea how dark that show gets. I loved it, man. Loved it. I bet my favorite episode is the Tournament of Champions thing where you have, like, Speedy fighting Robin.
Oh, yeah.
Great episode.
Yeah, the original Teen Titans was I enjoyed, but despite the cartoonish moments, the Teen Titans Go, no.
Just not feeling that one?
Okay. Hey, you know, just to throw things off balance, I will say something nice about the end of Rebirth.
Good.
It wasn't the Dark Side.
Yeah, that's true.
The Dark Side wasn't that
because I'm so damn sick of everything being Dark Side.
Yeah, we have Baby Dark Side instead.
Yeah. Baby Dark Side. I'm hoping if Manhattan does get used, which I'm hoping, to be honest, he doesn't. I think the idea that they've used him as the catalyst to reboot the universe, fine, whatever. I don't want to see a scene where he's like in crisis, where he's like the giant anti-mortar characters and all the other key people are trying to swarm him and kick the crap out of him.
You are going to see that scene, Ed. Prep yourself.
I don't know how they're going to resolve it, or they're just going to move on and say, but I say, according to Bleeding Cool website, the Flash Rebirth issue is effectively issue 2 of Rebirth, because it's got stuff about Wally West in it. It's got stuff about Batman trying to analyze the badge and realizing it's not from this Earth and all this kind of stuff as well. So they are definitely sticking with it for a little bit longer rather than just saying, hey, this is what happened. We don't know. Carry on. Move on. So I mean,
think about it this way. Like, I'm cool with that. I'm like, yeah, okay, fine. Use those Dr. Manhattan as a bad guy for at least a change, but like, write it, you know, give me some cool shit that happens with it. But you can't tell me you can't be at least a little bit excited for when Rorschach meets the Question.
Well,
I actually just think that will be a continued vandalism of probably the greatest book that comes.
Okay, did nobody
ever
read that story? Like, Denny O'Neill, I think, wrote it back in The Question in his monthly book. Really? The question buys a copy of Watchmen and reads it on the page.
I never saw that, no.
Yeah, and he thinks, oh, this Rorschach looks pretty cool. I'm going to try to act like Rorschach. And so he goes out and tries to solve crimes like Rorschach, and he gets the shit kicked out of him.
That is so messy.
He can't solve any crimes. And I think it's Green Arrow, because he's like teaming up with Green Arrow at the time. And Green Arrow finds him and says, what the fuck are you doing? Like, you spent your whole life figuring out how to solve crimes and fight problems, and now you're giving all up to act like a guy in a comic book? And he's like, I don't know. It looked like a good idea at the time. And the whole issue is a rejection of Rorschach. It's brilliant. Yeah, it's great.
I'll check that out.
But the Watchmen characters are so fallible that as soon as you try to – I mean, the only two guys that can do anything is Ozymandias and Dr. Manhattan. And are they going to – it just seems like such a lopsided contest.
We don't know along the Watchmen continuity where apparently Manhattan is interfering. Is this after Manhattan's left and everyone's dead anyway? Or is this during the stuff in the before Watchmen where he's creating universes and the stuff in Watchmen hasn't happened yet? So I hope it's after. We don't want to see the other characters. I'm more than happy just that's it. Their story's been done.
They've strongly implied that Ozymandias has been running around the Superman books for a while.
Yes. That's true.
There's a couple of hints that Nightwing and Silver Night Owl and Silver Spectre are running around Gotham City, and the whole thing about there being three Jokers. There's some suspicion that one of them is going to be the Comedian.
Wait, are you saying that those guys with like the G on their chests, that's Night Owl and Silk Spectre?
That's one of the rumors. Yes. Yeah.
Oh.
You heard it here first, folks.
And then how where does Ozymandias show up in Superman?
There's been some guy sitting in front of like big walls of TVs monitoring Superman, and he calls himself Mr. Oz.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's okay. That's a big boy. Sure. Yeah. Okay. Smoking gun.
Yeah. That's pretty much an L on there. That one.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, I'm going to change subjects now.
Okay. Okay.
Jacob, you've been kind of quiet. Have you read Future Quest?
I have not read it, but I am very interested in it because I really like those particular series of Hanna-Barbera cartoons. So no, I have not read it, but definitely on my list.
I have to say I really enjoyed it, but I've probably, like I said in my previous podcast, I've probably seen too much Venture Brothers over the years because it keeps reminding me of that. Because basically Venture Brothers' shtick is, hey, let's take some Hanna-Barbera cartoons, do a pastiche of them, and throw in everything else in, comicdom. So, in this last season of Venture Brothers, they had the Avengers working as a shakedown crew for a guy who's basically Kingpin and threatening Johnny Quest and his family. They needed to, hey, this is a nice super soldier, super science lab you got here. Same if anything happened to it, wink, wink, kind of thing. But hey, you said you read Future Quest and really liked it?
I really like Future Quest, yeah. Any comic with Space Ghost in it is an instant buy. So that's a good start for me straight away. So, funny enough, a lot of the other characters, apart from Johnny Quest and maybe one or two others, I don't know a lot. In the UK, we never saw those characters. So I'm quite interested to see exactly who they are. And I know on the back they are releasing them on DVD, so it looks like I might have to invest in a couple of DVDs as well. But artwork was fantastic. Like the pacing, again, storyline seemed pretty good, and Space Ghost. So,
yeah. Go ahead.
As DVDs go, I highly recommend you track down Thunder the Barbarian and and the Herculoids.
Never read those. Never seen those. No idea. So, all good.
Hey, I'm just wondering. I don't know if this is a problem you had. Maybe you never did. You don't have the Cartoon Network in the UK. I mean, like the Birdman character, he's been the star of a short late night, basically stoner comedy cartoon for about 7 years now. And ditto with Space Ghost.
Yeah, I'm aware of those. Yeah, because when I Googled, when I went on Amazon, that was the first thing that came up for Space Ghost. And I thought, well, sure, that's can't be right. That's something looks wrong about that. And then the Harvey Birdman stuff came up as well. They did used to show Space Ghost really, really early in the morning in the UK, so I saw those. And obviously, he had the appearance on Brave and the Bold as well, or the Batman series, which was just like, okay, that's really cool. They're obviously acknowledging him again. So,
Some of those shows, I mean, Baseball Coast to Coast was on for a long time. Harvey Birdman actually had a video game that came out associated with it. So, I mean, these weren't, like, under-the-radar franchises.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Harvey Birdman. The Birdman shows up in this book as he's a secret agent working for what's basically S.H.I.E.L.D. in the world. He goes he visits Dr. Quest, then he goes out in the balcony, says a prayer to Ra, becomes a Birdman, and goes off to fight bad guys. And I was thinking, you know, they might need to kind of bring some more gravitas or something with this character, just because the association I've got with him is, you know, as kind of this comic relief thing. So, I don't know.
It's like, I want really now is Blue Falcon and Dynamite, and I'll be happy. So, you know.
I don't want the Grim and Gritty reboot of Blue Falcon and Dynamite, but I would like to see them some more. But
yes, that'd be cool.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Captain America. Jacob, what do you think about that?
Oh, my goodness. Where do I...
Uh-oh.
I am willing to give the comic the benefit of the doubt to see where the story is going before I really chime in. But, you know, with the ending of issue one, disappointment is not strong enough a word. Captain America is one of those heroes, much like Superman, where if you change the fundamental aspect of him to make him dark and evil, and then you have seriously impacted a lot of people's views on what you're doing with your characters and your IP.
I would agree. Walt, you've been kind of quiet so far. Do you have a take on the Captain America issue?
It's kind of easy to see that what's happening here, if you instead of focusing on that one panel, you actually back up and look at what's been going on in Marvel Comics as a whole. You can kind of figure out where they're going, you know, with the whole cosmic cube, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, some good did come out of it. There was that great, I think the artist's last name is Sejic. He did this great paint over of Chris Evans' Captain America as Captain Hydra, both with face mask and unface mask version. And, oh, my God, the image was amazing.
Yeah, that was some good work.
Right? I mean, oh, really, really well done. I actually preferred the face mask version myself, and can picture the toy with two, you know, removable heads that you can interchange when you need to. But, you know, it's not like we haven't seen this before. I think it was in the – wasn't it in the 70s or late 60s that he was
– Yeah, the Red Skull brainwashed him in a story long, long ago.
Yeah, I think it was a Kirby issue even, possibly.
I have that issue from, you know, Bring on the Bad Guys, which was the very first graphic novel that got me into comics. That was the first comic ever that I read.
I remember Bring on the Bad Guys. Yeah.
And he was all like, Hail Hitler and blah, blah, blah. I mean, you know, the only reason that it's blowing up is the same reason that the death of Captain America brought on national news attention on like CNN and stuff like that. It's, you know, we have this huge.
He didn't stay dead?
Nah, apparently not. You know,
But once something happens in a comic, it's like forever, right?
That's why we have all these media reactions. You know,
do comics, Chris.
You're one of these fake geek guys I've been hearing about, aren't you?
I totally agree. It's like. I'm like, cool, because, you know, at the end of the day, Cap is still going to come out on top and be the good guy that you all know him to be. It's just I want to see what his angle is. I'm like, give me that kind of story, because I'm like, I'm intrigued. Like, why would he do it? Also, like, I mean, in a way, I can kind of – it makes even more sense if you look at it from – okay, now I'm like the furthest thing from like a political person at all. I'm like politics freaks, like, I don't know. But, I mean, like, I can look at my country and like the fucking corruption and all that bullshit that's going on, and you know, it's like, oh yeah, the country isn't serving the government's serving themselves, they're not serving their people or anything like that. And so in a way you can kind of be like, well, if you look at it from the way of like how things are so unstable and everybody feels like they've got no one that's actually looking out for them, like aside from the like fantasy version of him maybe being brainwashed or went through back in time and changed him or whatever the case is, you can kind of be like, well, maybe there's another way of making things better and the government isn't the way to do it. You know what I mean? Like most of his other stories are where he is cool is where he goes up against what the government is saying.
Yeah, that little
the great thing about that is he talks about corruption in his country, and even if you don't know where he's from, like everybody who's listened to this just said, well, we know he's not from Canada, but other than that, you know, it's wide open.
Oh man. You guys need to freaking just Google like the president of South Africa and see how bad it is, man. Like he makes Trump look like a freaking amateur.
Okay, so, it's not hard to do.
So since you brought up Trump, I have to jump in.
Now I feel bad.
I think that what we have not mentioned yet is that there are two Captain Americas right now.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we have Sam Wilson, who's also Captain America, and we have Steve Rogers, who's now the evil Hail Hydra Captain America. And so all of those things that people are saying about how the character is like no longer a symbol of what we want heroes to be. Well, there is a Captain America who's still a symbol of all the things you want heroes to be. It's just not Steve Rogers, right?
Jason, yeah. Jason, you know, I love you. So when I say this, there's nothing personal about this. But I'm just speaking on behalf of a typical comics fan. This is not me. But trying to remind a typical comics fan that Sam Wilson is also Captain America reminds me for all the world of the people that keep popping up on Facebook reminding me, hey, the Libertarian Party has a candidate in this election. It's like, sure. Yeah, but we don't care.
Well, I get that. I understand that. But I think that the writer cares. I'm trying to figure out what the writer is doing.
My takeaway is this. I know they're trying to lift Sam Wilson up as the future of Captain America, and I'm fine with that concept.
But my
problem is you shouldn't tear down the old character to lift up the new character.
This is going to last. This two Captain Americas, one of whom is a crazy person, is going to last precisely until the elections are over.
Well, again, with Cap, the making Cap bad is no different than making Bucky bad, which is in different Captain America. Is that the same thing? And it wasn't that much uproar saying, oh my God, Bucky's now a Russian spy. Then people just got on with the story and said, okay, where's it going to go?
Sean brought up the politics, and that's what this is. Look, when Walt and I were talking a couple of days ago, Walt was talking about how America is so divided right now. And you could say that there's two Americas. Well, you open up a copy of Captain America and there's two fucking Americas, right? Like it's an allegory, people. and the struggle between the two versions of America is being represented on these pages. And that's, now we may not like it, but you can see what the writer's trying to do.
I mean, I'm super impressed, actually. If that's, obviously, I'm not like in America or anything like that. But if that's like his angle, I'm like, that's kind of cool.
I cannot read the author's mind, but you have two Captain Americas, and I don't want to get too much into politics here because Chris, I also highly respect you, and you and I disagree on a lot of politics, but
so
I don't want to offend you either.
Do we? Does anybody know? I mean, other than the fact that I don't like Trump, does anybody actually know my politics?
Well,
I thought you were shooting past Maoist.
I find that a lot more people assume they know my politics than actually do.
You might very well be right. In any case, that makes it all the more likely that I will offend. I don't want to do that because I don't know.
Jason, unless you actually are with Hydra, you can't defend my
politics. let's go back to the one thing we can all agree on, which is that Trump is a fucking disaster for America, right? Can we all agree on that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So you've got two Captain Americas here, and one of them is black, which means he voted for President Obama the last two elections, and he's going to vote for Hillary Clinton this time. And then the second guy is now like a white supremacist fascist. This is not rocket science, people. It's going to last until December.
The interesting thing that that theory is, though, is that they're not in the same book. They're in separate books. So Sam Wilson's stuff may just go off and do his own thing, and you'd have to kind of read both to kind of get that if that's the plan. I don't know how much Sam's going to show up in the new book, but...
Well, that's my theory, and I'm sticking to it. And if I'm wrong, a lot of people, I will say I'm wrong.
I need your right to be heard at your first.
Back in the day when he became U.S. agent, when he decided the government weren't his thing anymore, this is pre-internet days, so I mean you kind of as much uproar as it was back in the day. But it's just it's a story, for Christ's sake. It's going to come. Something's going to happen. It's going to go back to the way it went to. As soon as the next Captain America movie is done, they're going to say, oh, okay, well, Steve Rogers is back now as the Captain America. Yeah, that's it. Totally. Don't worry about it.
Yeah,
you're not worried.
Yeah, the outrage is unnecessary. It's this is just how comics work. You guys are absolutely right. Like, as Chris pointed out, like, this is gonna go right back to the way it was. This is not lasting. Nothing in comics is permanent. We'll see if we get any good comics out of it. If we get any good stories out of it, that's ultimately.
No, totally. What bugs me though is just the knee jerk reaction of a lot of fans that are just like, "Oh my God, my fucking world is over!" Blah blah blah, and they just like lash out at everybody. And it's like, guys, we've read comics for how many years now? You know nothing as forever.
Yeah, that's a great point, and you know it sort of dovetails one of the better articles I think I've read lately, and it's saying that you know these days people don't whine and complain because they're these fragile little snowflakes who all really need safe zones and speech codes. It's just that one lesson our society has taught and learned is whining works. He who whines the loudest gets their way.
Okay.
I mean, it's no big shock to me that there's been this big outcry because it's something that people don't like, and they've been taught if we whine and make death threats and act as outrageously as possible, we will get our way.
Yeah.
Right, I feel the need to bring this up because you know mostly we've been talking about the average comic reader, which the average comic reader these days is an adult.
Yeah.
In quotation marks, that is.
30-year-old with two kids.
The comics are intended to be read by teenage and young adults, and you know, but most comic book readers have been reading them for years and decades already. Now, here's the problem with the current Captain America story. The other day, Lewis Porter Jr., who runs LPJ Designs, a role-playing game company, was talking about what can we do to get new readers, young readers in our industry. You need to focus on the next generation, not the people who've been with you all this time, not the people whose money you've already got. You need to focus on new readers, getting new subscribers. And the huge problem with this Captain America story is you got all these young kids who are probably only familiar with Captain America from the movies. And so they see Captain America issue 1. I can start new, fresh. I don't have to worry about anything else. Hail Hydra.
Right.
You've destroyed your new readership by trying to be edgy.
Well, you know, I'm one person. I'm not a survey, and Lord knows just because it happened in my life doesn't mean it's applicable anywhere else. But literally, the very first Captain America comic book that I bought at age 9 in 1978, it was an epilogue from a previous story arc where Captain America had been taken over, mind controlled by a hate group, and it helped them start a race riot in New York City. And the splash page of the comic is a flashback to that story, and it's a whole splash page of Captain America holding up his shield, except it has a giant swastika on it. And that is literally the first Captain America comic I ever bought. Right. And granted, it didn't make it nearly as much of an impression on me as the two Reb Brown TV movies. But you know, I wasn't horrified. I wasn't shocked. I kept reading the stories. I kept buying more Cap comics. So, I don't know. Maybe Maybe I'm a weird kid. Okay, granted, I was a weird kid. Maybe I'm not an atypical kid.
But say, Marvel have even been adding now the splash page at the back that basically say what happens next. Check out next year too. Now, if nothing else, people want to know what the hell happens next in Captain America. So I mean, they've won that. They even if people just kind of hear from other sources and then go and buy the book, or just they've hit that market. I mean, yeah, what better publicity that they've got than hitting 1,000 different news media outlets? We're going, oh my god, Captain America's a Nazi, you know. So they've done that.
You know the ending they could have gone with. Now, In that vein. Now, it's my understanding that the guy that Cap chucks out was one of those like short-lived, like '90s imagey substitute Cap guys.
Definitely. Yeah.
And instead of saying "Hail Hydra," he could look right at the camera and said, "Sorry, DC, '90s are over." I like
that. That's a little meta.
Just a bit.
Thank you.
Hey, speaking of stories that, well, actually. I don't have a good segue for this. X-Men movie. Has anybody seen it?
Yeah, I just watched it, actually, just the other day.
What'd you think?
I found it entertaining. It was, you know, it wasn't great cinema, but I was certainly entertained for 2 hours. You know, got to see some nice action scenes, some explosions, and some decent character portrayals. I liked some of the new actors taking over the old roles.
Yeah, I found it entertaining too. I guess I wanted some more out of it. I didn't really feel all that invested in the final fight there. And since it was one of those big cataclysmic, Magneto's going to destroy the world kind of fights, I kind of felt like it should have had higher emotional stakes. And I kind of felt like, I don't know, they wanted Jennifer Lawrence to do more, especially after the last movie when she had such a, you know, kind of a key role.
Yeah, Jennifer Lawrence's salary is kind of driving the plot of this movie.
I think so.
It cost them so much to get her that they have to make her a lot more important than she should really be.
I kind of wish they had, because I don't feel like she had much to do. And if they're paying her a lot to be in the movie, maybe they should have made her more central. Because
you didn't like the Mockingjay Part 3. I mean, that where she sort of gets up and gives rousing speech after rousing militant speech.
Okay, you know what? Maybe I was overlooking that. There were a lot of scenes where she was trying to do that. So
and also the fact that she really hates the blue makeup. So even though the whole point of this last movie is that she's not afraid to be a mutant, now she spends practically the whole movie looking like Jennifer Lawrence because Jennifer Lawrence hates the blue makeup.
Just for the record, that's not a bad thing. Just to...
Well,
Jennifer Lawrence looking like Jennifer Lawrence nobody's to make an excuse for that. That's good.
I hear where you're coming from, Nate.
Well, it's probably like 4 hours in a makeup chair, you know.
All of which is perfectly interesting. This is one of the ways that comics differ from film. In film, you have to deal with actors' egos and the difficulties of things like makeup, and if it costs you $1 million to build a set, you have to shoot the set. When an actor wants more money, you have to kill off the character and recast it. None of that shit has to happen in comics. This is one of the ways that for all of the similarities between the two, they will always be fundamentally different in the stories that they tell.
So, Walt, did you see this movie?
I did. I'm with Jacob in that I was entertained for a few hours. A lot of the origin changing I was like, whatever. The thing that I thought was a real missed opportunity. Almost 15 years later, that first X-Men movie, the very first scene where Magneto and his family are in Auschwitz.
Yeah.
And that was one of the most, at that time, that blew people's minds about what a comic book movie could be. Just that one scene defines that whole character. And you bring the audience along and hope that they can understand why this person is this way because of the trauma that they've seen in life.
Yeah, it's a great scene.
Even though it was sad, you don't get that same emotional impact when he's discovered where he's living as being Magneto, and the doom and gloom befalls his family.
Yeah.
It didn't seem like there was as big an emotional tie as there was to that first scene.
Well, I don't know if you can capture lightning in a bottle like that again, but they noticed they revisited that scene.
And allowed him to tear apart what was one of the most telling parts of his origin.
I actually really liked the scene where he destroys Auschwitz. I thought that was very fitting.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I thought the film, unfortunately, was just kind of flatly written. Like, a lot of the characters are just very melodramatic, and they didn't have a lot of very interesting things to say. There was not a lot of subtlety to this movie. And I know that sounds stupid, like, okay, it's an X-Men movie. What are you doing expecting subtlety? But a lot of the X-Men movies have been a lot better than this.
Yeah, and I seriously hope that some fan will listen to us on this podcast and redub Apocalypse's voice as the voice from the cartoon in the 90s.
Well, we can all agree that the third one is always the worst.
They make that statement in the movie.
That's why I said it.
Well, Mike, let me ask you a question since you've seen it.
Yeah.
All right. For me, one of the best films made in the last 30 years is Inside Llewyn Davis. And most of the reason is the performance that Oscar Isaac gives in that movie. And I understand that he's Apocalypse, and everybody I know that has seen it has told me that that could be like Don Knotts in the suit, and it wouldn't make any difference at all for what they give him to do in the movie. Would you say that's a fair criticism, actually, having seen the film?
Yes, I would.
Yeah, the characters' lines are just like they look like they came out of a Saturday morning cartoon, you know,
Power Rangers villain though, doesn't he? Apocalypse. He's pretty. Costume design for the character Silas costume pretty damn good. Yeah, yeah. Other characters' costumes pretty damn good. Apocalypse, Power Rangers guy.
He looks like Ivan Ooze.
Yes.
He has all of the powers that the plot requires him to have and does not have any of the powers the plot insists he not have. It's just badly written. And in this, and I love seeing Scott and Jean on the screen again. I am a total sucker for that relationship. I looked up and I saw Scott, Jean, and Beast on the screen at the same time, and I was like, oh man, they're so close, you know? Like, I just wanted this, I wanted the original X-Men up there again. But the original X-Men couldn't be the people that they needed to be because Jennifer Lawrence had to be the leader of the team.
Yeah.
What did you think about the cameo?
Quicksilver is still awesome, however.
Yes, Quicksilver steals that movie in every scene that he's in.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now he gets two. He gets two big cameo.
Sorry, guys. I'm with the other Quicksilver.
That's all right. He was good, too. I liked him.
Give me the other Quicksilver any day. I'm like, watch, in the next Avengers Infinity War, whatever they're going to recall it, Wanda needs to, like, get a life, one of those, the life gem and bring him back.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Like, they're going to let the Avengers have Scarlet Witch and let X-Men have Quicksilver. But I hope you're right, because he was a great character.
Hey, let's see. We were going to talk about Future Quest, DC Rebirth. Oh, has anybody read the ones that came, the Rebirth issues that came out yesterday?
Not yet. Weekend, maybe, if I get a chance to breathe and if I don't need sleep.
I flipped through the Green Lanterns one while I was killing time at AwesomeCon over the weekend.
What'd you think?
That's not a good sign.
Of all the lanterns that I really want to read more about, Simon Baz and Jessica Cruz are kind of like way down near the bottom of the list. So, I mean, I like the setup. It's just I don't really see any point at all in either of those characters.
Chris,
I'd much rather see a Guy or a Kyle or a John Stewart book.
Chris, did you read the Omega Men with Kyle Rayner?
I read about it, and I'm waiting for it to be collected in a trade because I don't often say this, but that really does seem to me a comic that needs to be read in one sitting.
I have not read it, but I want to know your opinion on it because I know that you're no Green Lantern better than me.
I've heard it's an allegory for modern Middle Eastern politics.
Yeah.
And it's all about how Kyle Rayner comes in with the absolute best of intentions and just makes everything worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know the writer Tom King is an ex-CIA agent, because, and Lord knows if anybody could speak to that being a real life thing, it's somebody who's been a spy for us. So that alone makes me want to check it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when you do, tell us what you think of it.
I sure will. Sure will.
I still don't get Simon Baz's gun. I put this on the forums, and they said it's because when his ring runs out of power, he's always got a gun. I'm thinking, okay, great. How are you going to take down people that are superpowered with a gun anyway? Give him a laser blaster or something, but just a regular 45. It's like, oh, look, there's Sinestro. Back. Oh, God, I didn't do anything, did it? Damn it.
It makes him feel better.
Yeah, it just seems crazy.
I live in the South. No, people carry guns because it makes them feel better. That's just
right, okay.
Yeah.
Well, hey, Jacob, you have a new book coming out, don't you?
Several, in fact.
Well, I was thinking specifically of Superpower Bestiary, which is a huge mammoth tome of a book that just came out for Mutants and Masterminds, right?
Indeed, just the Superpowered Bestiary. We ran a Kickstarter for this late last year, and I missed it. Sorry, but the book is now available. You can get it either on PDF or print on demand, which is a hardcover. That's available at DriveThruRPG. And when I got the book. When I got my copy, oh, this thing is massive and heavy. This is a book you can literally kill your players with. and you know, the things inside can kill their characters along with them.
All right, cool. And so if they wanted to find that, just go to RPG Now and search for Superpowered Bestiary or...
Indeed.
Okay, there you go. Hey, Walter, yeah. You still... Oh, Walt just bowed out. He's going to karate practice because he has a belt test coming up.
Ah, I wish you success.
Well, apparently his sensei choked him out last time when he got a little too cocky, so he's been practicing. So
he's been planning revenge.
Yeah, but Sean, I guess you're the person we should mention this. Walt wanted to make sure we mention the Adventureverse trade. Can you give our listeners a quick blurb about what that is?
Actionverse, yeah, okay. So if they don't know already, it's a six-issue series from Action Lab that recently came out, and the trade comes out this week. Basically, it's the first creator-owned crossover between a bunch of creator-owned characters like Stray, everybody knows Stray, Molly Danger, Midnight Tiger, First Hero, and Fracture. Basically, all the hero titles that all the superhero titles that Action Lab have, and I actually wrote and drew an issue, which is quite cool. So yeah, I pick it up. I'm really proud of it because it's actually in the vein of, you know, Crisis and all that stuff, but it's a really, like, obviously the cost of characters is a lot less. You don't have, like, 200 characters running around. But it's a very personal kind of story. It's to build these relationships between these characters, and the bad guy has, like, really... Once you see the reason why he's doing what he's doing, you're like, oh, I totally get that, which we're very proud of. So, yeah, pick it up and give it a read and let us know what you think.
Do you know if the zero issue's in there?
The zero issue should be in there, as far as I know. I haven't picked up my copy yet, but it should be in there.
I have the zero issue. That's the only thing I've managed to wangle in Actionverse in the UK at the moment, but I do have the zero issue, so I shall get the trade to pick it up.
Yeah, it should be in there. Like, I haven't picked up my own copy just yet, but it should be, as far as I know.
You're good.
All right, if someone wants to find it, how do they find that?
Well, I don't have the... Where's the... Okay, I don't know all the addresses and stuff. But you can go to... you can pretty much get it on Amazon or order it at your local comic shop. I don't have that order number. Or you can also go and just message us on at I am the Stray on Twitter, and we'll probably hook you up that way.
Okay.
And there's a Stray Facebook page. I think it's also called I am Stray.
Okay. Comixology or not so much?
Yes, Comixology's got it, for sure.
Okay, excellent.
So, I'm pretty sure if you just do a search for Stray, you'll find all the books that he's in, and so that'll probably pop up as well.
Okay, all right. And the name of the studio again was Action Lab?
Action Lab, yes.
All right, cool. That covers it.
Sean, I meant to ask you as well, have you ever started up Stray for Mutants and Masterminds or any other role-playing game?
We did actually have him started up. Vito got him started up. I think Charlie McKelvey started him up for us.
Cool.
Back then. That was a while ago. I think before we finalized these other power sets and stuff.
Very good.
It's around somewhere. Vito should post it up somewhere. I'm pretty sure he's got it on the Stray page that we have on Facebook.
Okay. Well, before we wrap up, any last comments from anybody? Chris?
Oh, just always an honor and pleasure to be here and meet some awesome new people and chat with some old friends. Always great fun.
Cool. Jason, anything you'd like to share?
Oh, gosh, no. Other than, like Chris said, it's great to be here, and thanks for having me. We had a lot of people this time. This is, like, the biggest group I can remember in a long time. Oh, and Chris, Sean, we have met before, because now I remember you talking about Stray when you and Vito were on the podcast a long time ago, and we talked a little bit about Stray back then. So we have met.
Yeah, totally. I was like, I recognize your voice.
Yeah.
We're from the South. We were hypnotized by the accent.
That's true. Nice.
So, Jacob, anything you want to chip in before we wrap it up?
If people are interested in X-Men type things, I've also got the Superpowered Legends Vindicator Second Class that just came out yesterday for my Superpowered Legends series. But otherwise, yeah, thank you for having me. I had a great time talking with everyone.
Yeah, always a pleasure talking to you guys. Aid, anything you want to mention before we call it a podcast?
Just everybody buy more comics, but everybody remember to breathe before posting anything on Twitter.
I hope Donald Trump is listening.
You know, I got to tell you, this next 5 months until November might kill me. This the gatherings.
I hear you so hard.
So, all right. Well, hey, everybody, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time on the Banff Podcast.